The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Money.com, Kiplinger.com, Kiplinger Personal Finance, and if time allows today, we will continue our readings from the book Money Hacks. Our first article from Money.com, stamp prices are on track to rise again in January. Still sending snail mail? Stamp prices will likely jump to 68 cents in January, the fifth hike in less than 3 years. It's part of a course correction by the U.S. Postal Service, which has been aggressively raising stamp prices since August of 2021. In an announcement on Friday, officials attributed the proposed price increases to, quote, inflationary pressures on operating expenses and the effects of a previously defective pricing model. The U.S. Postal Service is supposed to sustain itself financially rather than rely on taxpayer dollars, but the agency has been losing money for more than 15 years, according to an August report by the U.S. Government Accountability Office, or GAO. The U.S. Postal Service's expenses continue to grow faster than revenues, according to the GAO report, which also notes that mail volumes are falling for some of the agency's most profitable products. The governors of the Postal Service have approved the latest round of rate changes, including the increase from 66 cents to 68 cents for a forever stamp, but the adjustments haven't yet cleared the final regulatory step. How much will stamps cost in 2024? The price increases this January probably won't be the only round of changes in 2024. The U.S. Postal Service has been raising prices twice per year each January and July, and that pacing will likely continue according to the GAO report. When the newest rate hikes take effect on January the 21st, pending a favorable review by the Postal Regulatory Commission, the price of a forever stamp will be 24% higher than the January 2019 to August 2021 price of 55 cents. Forever stamps can be used for sending all regular letter mail weighing less than 1 ounce. As the name suggests, forever stamps can be used at any time after purchase, regardless of whether the postage rate goes up in the future. Yes, that means you could stock up on some 66-cent stamps anytime between now and January, and they'll work indefinitely. Beyond forever stamps, the U.S. Postal Service is eyeing price increases in January for most of its other products and services, too. The price of a domestic postcard will likely increase from 51 cents to 53 cents under the U.S. Postal Service's proposed adjustments, while the price of mailing an international letter would go up from $1.50 to $1.55. Metered mail postage would rise from 63 cents to 64 cents. In its announcement, the U.S. Postal Service said its prices will continue to be among the most affordable in the world. More information about the U.S. Postal Service's proposed price changes can be found on the agency's website. Our next article from Money.com, the government is coming after Social Security overpayments. The federal agency that administers Social Security benefits is making new efforts to reclaim overpayments, and it may try to claw back money if you've been receiving too much. In a statement Wednesday, the Social Security Administration, or SSA, said it is assembling a team to review policies and procedures for overpayment. Roughly 0.5% of Social Security payments are overpayments, according to the agency. Overpayments can either be the government's fault or the result of a mistake by the beneficiary. Either way, the result is that beneficiaries owe money back to the government. Government to track down Social Security overpayments. It is unclear how much money the government is trying to collect in Social Security overpayments. Officials denied that the agency is trying to collect $21 billion in Social Security overpayments, as some media reports suggested. This figure was derived from the total amount of overpayments that have occurred over the history of the programs, the SSA explained. Each person's situation is unique, and the agency handles overpayments on a case-by-case basis. The news of the overpayment review could be concerning for Social Security beneficiaries who are unsure if they are being paid the correct amount, or for anyone who suspects their checks are larger than they should be. The SSA said the overpayment problem occurs given the number of people the agency serves, the number of changes in their circumstances, and the complexity of the program. The SSA collected $4.7 billion in overpaid Social Security in 2022, per an Inspector General report. The agency notes that Social Security benefits total $1.4 trillion per year. Social Security benefits help supplement income in retirement for 70 million recipients. The annual cost of living adjustment, or COLA, was 8.7% in 2023, based on high inflation, bringing benefits to around $1,700 per month on average. Another 3.2% increase in payments is expected for 2024, though that figure is not finalized. So what happens if you were paid too much in Social Security? If you've been overpaid, it's possible to get on a plan to repay the government gradually. However, according to KFF Health News, these plans are stressing the budgets of some affected beneficiaries as the agency is collecting from poor, retired, and disabled people who have spent the money and are unable to repay it. When someone is overpaid Social Security, years could pass before the issue is detected, and by that time the mistake may have amounted to tens of thousands of dollars, according to the Health News publication. The government is required by law to try to recover Social Security overpayments, officials said, but recovery can be waived in some scenarios. You can file an appeal or make a request that the Social Security Administration not seek the money back. The agency also said it's working to reduce overpayments in the future and make relief more accessible to overpaid beneficiaries seeking waivers. And from Kiplinger.com, interesting article. Yes, you can buy gold at Costco, but it sells out fast. Did you know you can buy gold at Costco? It's true. Costco has begun selling 1-ounce gold bars, joining retailers like Walmart in the previous metals retailing space. In the company's quarterly earnings call on September the 26th, Costco's chief financial officer, Richard Galanti, said, "I've gotten a couple of calls that people have seen online that we've been selling 1-ounce gold bars. Yes, but when we load them on the site, they're typically gone within a few hours, and we limit 2 per member. Members can purchase the gold bars for just under $2,000 each, compared with gold's spot price of about $1,820 per ounce at the time of this writing. There are currently 2 variations of gold bars available at Costco. Both are 1 troy ounce and made of 24 karat gold. They are available online only, with a limit of 2 per member, and are not eligible to be returned or refunded. Costco ships the gold bars via the U.S. Postal Service, via UPS, insured shipping, and a signature is required on delivery. And also coming from the article, membership prices to increase soon at Costco. During the quarterly earnings call, Galanti was asked if a membership price increase was in Costco's near-term plans. He responded by saying it was a matter of when, not if. Galanti noted that Costco's last price increase took place in June of 2017, and 6 years is longer than its typical 5.5-year price increase cycle. In terms of looking at the values that we provided our members, we continue to increase those in certainly a greater amount than even more than if and when an increase occurs, he continued. Stay tuned. We'll keep you posted. Costco has continued to expand its offerings to show the value of being a member, such as its addition of gold bars to its inventory and its new partnership with Sesame for discounted outpatient healthcare services. And while the price of its membership may be on the rise, the price of its famous Costco hot dog and soda combo has remained steady at $1.50 since its introduction in 1984. Our next article is from Kiplinger Personal Finance. Airline ticket prices are coming back to earth. After soaring in 2022, prices for domestic airline tickets are on the descent. In June of 2023, airfares had dropped by 8.1% from May and by 18.9% over the previous 12 months, according to the June Consumer Price Index report from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Booming supply and changing demand are the two key drivers of the decrease, says Scott Keyes, founder of Going, a website that provides airfare alerts and information. While 2022 was characterized by pilot and plane shortages, airlines have been making steady progress on both fronts this year. More capacity is getting added to the flight system every month, and because aircrafts have gotten significantly larger on average over the past decade, the number of available seats is already higher today than pre-pandemic, says Keyes. And passengers are less willing to pay inflated ticket prices than they were in the summer of 2022, when many of them were embarking on their first trip in years following the pandemic. International travel is another story. Over the summer, the average airfare to Europe was nearly $1,200 per ticket, the highest price in the past 6 years, according to travel booking site Hopper. Flights to Asia had an average ticket price of more than $1,800. To save money, Hopper advises, flying midweek, vacationing in the fall shoulder season, and traveling to more off-the-beat-path destinations. Planning holiday travel? It's likely that domestic airfares will continue to sink through the rest of 2023, says Keyes, but prices will tend to run higher in peak holiday periods. To watch for low fares, you can enter your itinerary at sites such as google.com/flights and kayak.com and receive an email alert when prices drop. You may be able to get the best fares for flights near Thanksgiving and Christmas by booking them early in the fall. If your plans change, you can rest easy knowing that the major U.S. airlines no longer charge ticket change fees for most fare classes, although you may be charged for same-day requests and some international flights. Basic economy tickets are typically not refundable or changeable. And our next article from Kiplinger Personal Finance, a checklist for newlyweds. Getting your financial and legal forms in order isn't romantic, but it's important. When it comes to weddings, October is the new June. In 2021, October was the most popular month to get married, and 43% of weddings took place between September and November, according to a survey from theknot.com. No matter when you get married, you have to do a lot of paperwork. Coley Christensen founded Newly Named, which provides a kit designed to streamline the process after she had to spend hours online and take a day off from work to locate and file the documents she needed to update after her wedding. Here are some of the most important documents you should change after you tie the knot. Social Security card. If you change your name after you get married, make sure you notify the Social Security Administration of your new legal name. To update the name on your Social Security record, you'll need to provide your photo identification, birth certificate, and marriage certificate. Once you've gathered those documents, download and fill out Form SS-5 at ssa.gov/forms. Bring all of the documents to your local Social Security office, which you can also locate at ssa.gov/locator online. You should get your new Social Security card in 10 to 14 business days. Take this step before you file your first tax return as a married couple. If the name on your tax return doesn't match the name on file with Social Security, the IRS may delay processing your return, which will also delay any refund you're eligible to receive. Driver's license and bank accounts. Once you have your new Social Security card, bring it and your current driver's license to your State Department of Motor Vehicles, or DMV, to get a new license with your correct name. You can use this along with your new Social Security card to update the name on your bank accounts. Wills and trust. After you're married, you'll probably want to update your will or trust to name your spouse as your beneficiary, says Flavio Landivar, Senior Financial Advisor at Evensky & Kratz Foles Wealth Management. You may want to contact an estate attorney to discuss how your marriage status will affect your estate plan. Insurance. Marriage is considered a qualifying life event, which means you should be able to add your spouse to your employer-provided health insurance plan without waiting for an open enrollment period. Most plans allow you to add a spouse, but check whether doing so triggers a costly surcharge. If both you and your spouse have company-provided health insurance, review each plan to determine whether it makes sense to use just one plan instead of two. If you have a life insurance policy, you'll likely want to make your spouse the beneficiary. Review any policies you and your spouse have to determine whether you want to keep them, Lavender says. It may make sense to pick one policy for both of you that has the best premiums and benefits, he says. Tax forms. Within 10 days of getting married, you should provide your employer with a new Form W-4, which determines how much income tax will be withheld from your wages. You're not required to change your withholding after marriage, but your combined income could affect the amount you should have withheld to avoid underpaying or overpaying your taxes. A certified public accountant or enrolled agent can help you hammer out the details or use the IRS withholding estimator at irs.gov/individuals/tax withholding estimator. And an article from Kiplinger Personal Finance entitled, Get the Best Mortgage Rate. Average interest rates have more than doubled since 2021. But you can take steps to reduce the amount you'll pay to buy a home. The average interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage recently rose to nearly 7%. If you're planning on buying a home and looking for a loan, that's a tough pill to swallow, given that the average rate was less than 3% just a few years ago. Mortgage rates are influenced by several factors, including inflation and, to some extent, short-term interest rates set by the Federal Reserve, which were recently increased to a 22-year high. Although you can't control what's happening in the economy, you have ways to lower your cost. Search for the lowest rate. Check advertised rates from a variety of lenders, keeping in mind that the rates can change as often as daily. Explore all of your options, including local banks and credit unions, as well as online banks, says Jill Gonzalez, an analyst for the personal finance website WalletHub. If you qualify as a veteran, be sure to consider a VA loan. Lenders must be competitive but still generate profit, so disparity between mortgage rates is normal, Gonzalez says. Compare rates from local and national banks at bankrate.com/mortgages/mortgage rates. Although monthly payments will be higher, a 15-year mortgage will have a lower interest rate than a 30-year mortgage, so you'll pay less in interest overall. In early August, the average rate on a 15-year mortgage was 6.25%, compared with 6.9% for a 30-year fixed-rate loan, according to Freddie Mac. You may also be able to lower cost by buying mortgage points, basically a fee you pay to lower the interest on your mortgage, says Eileen Tu, Vice President of Product Development for online mortgage lender Rocket Mortgage. A mortgage point represents 1% of the mortgage loan and is added to the total amount you're borrowing. Each point you agree to pay can lower your overall interest by approximately 0.25 percentage points. Plan ahead. Your credit score, which is based on information from your credit reports, will affect whether you qualify for a loan and the rates you're offered. The higher your credit score, the easier it will be to negotiate loan terms on a lower interest rate, Gonzalez says. For that reason, you should review your credit reports before applying for a mortgage to make sure everything is current and correct. Through 2023, you can review your credit reports from the three major credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, once a week for free by going to annualcreditreport.com. Your credit score can be improved in as little as 30 days by paying down credit card balances to no more than 30% of your available credit. Requesting an increase of the credit limit on existing cards and paying off your credit card balances on or before the due date could also boost your score. Once you settle on a lending institution and a mortgage rate, ask to lock it in for a specified period. Lenders typically allow you to lock in a rate from 30 to 60 days. That should provide you with peace of mind while you're finalizing your purchase. The mortgage process can be lengthy, but you can speed it up by making sure all of your documentation is in order. Documents you and, if you have a co-borrower, your spouse or partner, will need to supply include recent pay stubs, Form W-2 statements for the past year, your most recent tax return, and Form 1099 statements or K-1 forms and other evidence of non-employee income. And as we finish up this episode of Money Matters, we will continue our readings from the book Money Hacks by Lisa Rowan. And we'll start with Money Hack number 40. Join a buy nothing group. Want the thrill of the bargain hunt without spending any money? Join a buy nothing group. These local groups usually hang out on Facebook, and their mission is to allow neighbors to pass around things they no longer need and ask for items they desire. Find your local group and sign up to get the lay of the land before making your first request or listing your first item to give away. There's no need to trade. Simply offer items you have lying around and that you find you don't need anymore. What to look for? You might find that you can get free clothing, tools, event tickets, or even larger items like appliances. Toys and baby clothing tend to be popular in these groups, since kids often grow out of them before wearing them out. These groups are also a great way to get supplies for your hobbies, avoid spending on necessary and unnecessary items, and get to know your neighbors. Not a fan of Facebook? You can also look for a free cycle email group for your area. These messages are a bit more transactional. Members just send short email messages to the list containing their offer or request along with their neighborhood and details of the item. Free cycle groups are especially useful for giving and receiving moving and packing supplies, baby clothes, and other items for kids and furniture. Money Hack 41. Use the stranger test. If a stranger offered you money, would you take it? What if they were also holding something you want to buy? Would you take the cash or the item? You'll probably be surprised at how often you'll choose the cash over the item. Don't imagine it's your friend holding the cash and the jeans, though. Your friends know exactly how to sway you one way or the other, while a stranger doesn't care which one you choose. Money Hack number 42, Outsmart Pricing Tricks. Have you ever noticed a price tag that says originally $14.99, now $12.99? It feels like you're getting a deal, but it's only a discount of $2. Retailers show you a higher price so that the lower price seems like a better deal. Some retailers do this when an item hasn't even been discounted, saying compare to $85, before listing that store's price of $79. The item may be $6 more elsewhere, but that's not a reason to buy the cheaper one. Whenever you see a manufacturer's suggested retail price or MSRP, compare at or other similar language listed on a product tag, be wary of price anchoring. It's a cue to research the product via the manufacturer's website or other retailers. Remember that just because two prices are listed on a tag doesn't mean you're getting a deal. And we're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and please be sure to join us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. The number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.